We're going to reconvene back into open session. Mr. Crawford, would you please lead us in the pledge?
Please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, I'll turn it over to Yasmin Munoz, Lyndhurst High School student representative to the board.
So today I'm going to be giving the report for Marysville High School and Lyndhurst High School. And first I'm going to start with Lyndhurst High School. So our old business, we had our first Senate meeting on September 4th, our first president's council on August 30th, senior tapping out announcements on Thursday, September 26th, and our first away football game was last Friday. Upcoming events, we have Club Rush and Food Day tomorrow, Wednesday, September 11th. We are also planning Fun Fridays, which are activities or games during our lunchtime every two Fridays of the month. And we have freshman elections coming up this Friday, September 13th. Now, Marysville High School, picture makeup day, they're having it on September 11th. Their welcome back dance will be held in the quad from 9 through 12 on September 13th. Food day is September 27th, and they will be having their food day on the street, and they will have a variety of vendors. The recent events for Marysville High School are Club Rush, which was past Thursday and Friday at lunch on the street. The Yearbook Company came on campus for a senior meeting on August 29th. Orange Nation had two big events so far since the year has started. Pack the House for volleyball on September 4th and Pack the House for football on August 30th. And they recently had a welcome back rally where they honor the Wampum card winners for their tremendous behavior. And that's it.
Okay, thank you. Move on. We have one recognition tonight. I'd like to ask the board to step down front, please.
This evening we have Brian Williams, the director of our technology department here, and he is making his A-plus employee award.
Thank you. I can honestly say that in my entire career, this is the most excited I've been about doing anything, ever. It's the ability to present this award tonight. I'm presenting the A-plus award to Ruta Nelson, who has been on my staff from the time I got here 10 years ago, and who has become one of the most important people that I have on my staff and one of the most important people I've worked with. I am so impressed by her every day, the attitude she brings to work, the amazing work that she does, taking on more than she should possibly ever have to take on, and doing it with professionalism and with just an attitude that makes our entire office better. I have never heard a bad word about her when I've been out at sites. And she is by far the first person that people compliment whenever I actually go out and they say, I just want you to know, I love Ruta. And I say, so do I. I'm just really, really honored tonight to be able to present Ruta with this award. And I wish I could do more.
Ruta is also the one who is responsible for our web page, and if you've noticed the recent changes, it's pretty impressive, and she is quite the webmaster. She's amazing with that technology.
Our presentation from Mr. Williams, Technology Department.
Thank you. I'm going to do something a little different this time than other presentations I've done in the past, and that's because I stand before you today different than I've been in the past. Almost a year ago, I went to a conference. All of you have heard of Common Core, Smarter Balanced Testing. Honestly, to me, that meant standardized tests on the computer. I went to a conference thinking I'd better find out as much as I can about that. And I went to the very first presentation I went to, spent 5 minutes talking about taking tests on the computer, and the rest of the time talking about how they were actually going to use the technology in the classroom to deliver the lessons that were coming, not just with Common Core, but even the lessons that we already have with the CSTs. And I thought, I'm in trouble. I've been looking at this all wrong. Real quick background. I come from San Diego, County Office of Ed, where I was the help desk manager for a while with internet access for dial-up internet access for teachers. And I had a couple things that happened down there that kind of formed my thinking on certain things. One, I actually got a call from the Secret Service once saying that one of your email accounts sent an email to the president today saying, if you don't come to my birthday party, I'm going to send someone to kill you. Secret Service takes that seriously. Turns out it was the 10-year-old son of a judge who happened to have a wife who was a teacher in the county, and that's how they had the email address. I thought, well, that's not good. My wife has been a teacher for years. She was a high school teacher in Southern California, and she actually had one of her students using a school computer through email meet somebody online, hop on a plane, and fly to Canada. This high school student, without telling anyone. I don't know someone who knows someone who heard a story. I actually know the girl that it happened to. I also know that she came back safe, and that it was one of the worst decisions she's ever made. But that's kind of where all of my thinking had been forever and where my decisions came from. And then I went to a conference and saw what was coming and realized it's time for me to change. And so I'm going to change the way I do my presentation a little bit. I'm going to start with one of the videos that I saw very early on when they started talking about Common Core. And then from there, I've actually got another video. This all kind of happened at once. I'm going to say I had an epiphany, but I'm going to start with this video here.
Hello.
Why do we need Common
Core? Welcome to Energy Conservation Incorporated.
Thank you. I really hope to get a job here.
Well, let's get started with your interview. What do you think are your greatest strengths?
My greatest strengths?
Yes, your greatest strengths.
What are my answer choices?
What do you mean?
My answer choices. You know, A, B, C, or D.
There are not any answer choices.
Oh, I understand. In that case, I choose C.
You choose C?
Yes, I choose C. My fifth grade teacher told me to always choose C when I did not know the answer.
Oh. It sounds like your fifth grade teacher really prepared you for your future. Moving on then. This job will require you to write proposals about energy conservation. Are you a strong writer?
Yes. My teachers always told me that I write very good stories. I also like to write poetry.
Well, we will not need you to write poetry or stories. We will need you to write proposals regarding energy conservation.
Proposals. Is that like writing a persuasive essay?
Sure.
In that case, yes. I am very good at writing proposals. Every year in school, my teachers made me write a proposal regarding school uniform policies. I also wrote some proposals about banning cell phones in school. Would you like to read them?
No, I would not like to read them. If you get a job here, you will need to write proposals about energy conservation. Your proposals will need to include basic mathematical equations as well as scientific research.
Wait.
What is wrong?
I am confused.
That is not very surprising.
You said I would have to include mathematical equations and scientific research in my writing.
Yes, that is what I said.
But that doesn't make sense.
What doesn't make sense?
Math, science, and writing. They are separate subjects. I don't know if I can incorporate math and science into my writing. They are all very different.
Well, if you work here, that is what you will have to do.
This job seems very difficult. I do not think my public education prepared me to work here.
Well, I have to agree with you. I have one more question for you, though. Why did you think you were ever qualified to work here in the first place? Why are you looking around?
You asked me a question, and I do not know the answer. So, I am looking for someone to think pair share with.
There is no one for you to think pair share with.
Oh. In that case, I choose C.
I think I've heard enough. Thank you for coming in.
So, I saw that, and I thought, huh, wonder how much that applies to us. So I started asking around. And unfortunately, in some cases, it did. And then I actually was watching a college football game, and a commercial came on. And I'm going to play this one, too. This is actually an IBM commercial.
$3.2 billion comments are posted online every single day. You live in a social world. But are you working in one? A smarter workforce is a social workforce, connecting employees to experts, insights to actions. It's a production line of knowledge that never stops building. How social is your business?
That's what I'm working on. I'm an IBMer. Let's build a smarter planet.
So I took those two things together and I started thinking and started talking to other people in the district, and I realized I want to make sure that our students that come out of MJUSD are prepared for those job interviews, prepared for the social networking that happens in the workplace. And I realized we hadn't been doing it. We hadn't been because I hadn't allowed them to. It was all blocked and couldn't get to anything. I was the filter Nazi. I will be the first person to admit it. I can no longer be the filter Nazi. And so we have had a change of philosophy, I suppose. One of the things I did shortly after the conference is I got a group of teachers together, at least one teacher from every single school site. I call them the tech team, not my tech team. They are the tech team. I'm just there to listen and support them in every way I can. But we get together a couple times a year. We went to a conference towards the end of last school year to get them thinking, to get them with ideas. And they've done an absolutely amazing job of coming up with ways to deliver the technology, to utilize tools that have been there for a long time, but in a way that's going to make their students successful for those job interviews, their students successful in the workplace that they get that they're going to be entering, as well as successful on the Common Core standards that are coming, because that's where all this comes from in the first place. That's the goal. Career and college ready. Career ready. And careers are different than they've ever been. I've said it before. If you take your car to get an oil change, mechanic auto shop is fantastic. But you know what? If they're working on a car that's been built in the last 10 years, they better know how to work on a computer. And when they enter all your information and they charge you a bill, they better know how to work on a computer there too. And so it's a lot of the same old shop skills that we've had. We have to now have the computer and the technology skills to go with it. More than that, though, one of the big things that I realized when really getting into the Common Core that was coming is the real true collaboration between students. And it's not just collaboration sitting in the same classroom. I use this one a lot, but this is one of the, these are the standards, the new Common Core standards that are coming. This is a writing standard for grade 5. And it says here, right here with number 6, it says, with some guidance and support from adults, use technology, including the internet, to produce and publish writing, as well as to interact and collaborate with others. Demonstrate sufficient command of keyboarding skills to type a minimum of 2 pages in a single sitting. Okay, so I read that and I thought, well, I wonder how many of us are doing that in fifth grade. Not a ton. But that was then. It's different now. We've got a lot that are doing it now. We've got them that are doing it in fourth grade. They're collaborating online. The idea that a student can be sitting at home working on homework and working on the exact same homework that one of their classmates is working on from their house, in the same document at the same time, is different than we've ever had. However, it's exactly what's happening in the workplace in a lot of places. And so we want to make sure that we're getting them familiar with that. One of the things that I was able to do is create, we're using a site called Edmodo. It's actually where I grabbed this one particular video. This is a video. Edmodo is kind of like a Facebook. Facebook's available now. That being said, Facebook, you have to be 14 years old or older to use. And so we wanted a way for our third grade teachers, our fourth grade teachers, to start the collaboration. That standard I read for fifth grade, it starts with collaborating with others as early as second grade. They really want them to get in there early. We needed to have a way for them to do it safely. And so we've been using Edmodo. Edmodo is a site where the teachers can completely control who's in their class. They set it up. The students can communicate with each other, collaborate with each other online from the classroom, from home, from the library, wherever they may be. The nice thing about it is if the teacher chooses to do so, the teacher can approve every single post that happens before it actually goes out there. Even nicer is that the teacher controls who's in the group and who gets to see it. And so it's not out there for the world to see. It's only out there for the people she gives the code to. And anyone that joins, she'll see it or he'll see it and be able to kick them out. So the ability to collaborate, especially at the elementary level, collaborate safely, was really, really important to us. One of the other things that we really decided that we need to do as we do this, because we are opening up things that we've never opened up before, is we wanted to take on the role of education. It is kind of what we do. And so the thinking has been this. We've been trying to teach our kids for years to be good citizens on the playground. The Internet's a new playground. We need to make sure we teach them how to be good citizens on it. Same way we did on the playground that had swings and jungle gyms. As we go to the new website, which Ruta has done an absolutely fantastic job of, I can't even begin to tell you how much work has been involved in putting this together, but I've had multiple people compliment on it, and every single time, all I can say is don't tell me, it's Ruta. She's the one doing it. So, but what we've done and what we're doing and actually have started this year and we'll be doing it every year is we've actually put together and found some free online curriculum to teach Internet safety. We're going to teach our kids. If we're going to make it available to where they're doing social networking, we want to make absolutely certain that we teach them how to be responsible online, how to be safe online, how to make sure they're not bullying other students, how to be respectful online. And so we actually have a curriculum that's available here, elementary school, middle school, high school. Every single student will go through at least one of these lessons every year. They build on each other, kindergarten, first grade, second grade. They'll do that from now until I leave, just to make sure that we're not only teaching them how to use the tools, but we're teaching them how to use them properly, and we're teaching them how to use them responsibly. Really, really, really important. I don't want to have something happen, and I want to make certain I can always say, I see that the student did that, but I can show you where we told them they shouldn't. I can't always help them make the right decisions, but we can at least hopefully give them the guidance to help them along when trying to make those right decisions. Last thing I wanted to show you is I have a group of 33 teachers, 32 teachers throughout the district that get together. Over the summer, I actually grabbed 7 of them at the elementary level and asked them to do, I just kind of had an idea, and I asked them to do some work, and I'm going to show you here really real quick what it was. Before I do, I want to actually specifically name them by name because they did such a fabulous job doing what they were doing. At kindergarten, I had Nikki Westcamp from Kovalod. First grade, I had Sylvia Hinojosa from Ella. Second grade was Melissa White from Olivehurst Elementary. Third grade was Debbie Sanchez from Linda Elementary. Fourth grade was Heather Vance from Kynock Elementary. And if I can just real quick for Heather Vance, she's now presented at Sac County Office of Ed and at Twin Rivers Unified School District. She's doing that on her own about how she's using Edmodo in her classroom. And now she has people asking her to come present at other places because she's been doing such a fabulous job. For fifth grade, I had Alicia Wright from Browns Valley Elementary. And then for sixth grade was Sarah Rands from Olivehurst Elementary. And what I asked them to do was this. I want to try to get through the first couple units of your ELA curriculum. I want to take everything that you're going to teach in ELA, and I want you to see if you can come up with a way to incorporate the technology in your classroom to deliver the lesson. Not change it, just deliver it slightly differently. And what they ended up doing is putting together some really great work. I'm going to go ahead and pull up one. On the second grade resources, and so we now have this online. This is my Edmodo group, and if I go to Technology Integrated Lesson Plans, from here, I can actually pull up the very first story that they're going to teach. It's going to be Ant and the Three Little Figs. And if I go to Ant and the Three Little Figs, this is the work that Melissa White did over the summer, I can actually pull up her unit plan that she has. It covers the entire first week of lessons, day one, and it's going to walk you through every single part of how the actual open core curriculum is laid out and say, hey, for your preparing to read, you actually could go to this site, and this site will actually help you with that. Or I've created a smart board lesson. You can pull that in and use that yourself. And it goes through each and every day and each and every piece coming up with ideas. It doesn't change the lesson. It's the same lesson they've always taught. It just changes the delivery methods. The beauty of this is it's optional. It's what they're comfortable with. More importantly, because it's all listed on Edmodo, if someone's using it on the Edmodo site and they have a question, they can just ask the question right here and say, hey, I noticed on day 3 for Ant and the Three Little Figs that I didn't understand something you were talking about. Can you explain it? And each of the teachers that did the work over the summer, they've actually agreed to, throughout the year, be available and be a resource for all the other second grade teachers, third grade teachers, fourth grade teachers, to answer those types of questions, to give them ideas. One of the things we saw with all the Common Core that's coming, one of the big fears I see in teachers is, when am I going to find the time to figure out how to use all this technology? The goal in this particular case and for this project was, you know what, we're going to have someone else spend the time, give you some ideas. And what we're finding is once people get ideas and once they get just a little bit, it becomes much, much easier for them to go running off on their own to really, truly utilize what's going on in their classrooms. And with that, I'm quite certain I've gone over my 10 minutes. Honestly, this is something I normally do in an hour, and I'm trying to do it as quickly as I possibly can. But that's the direction we're taking. That's the work that some of the teachers have been doing. The nice thing is I'm not the one doing any of it. The teachers are. I just get to sit back and try to help them when they say, hey, can we have this? We've got one of the things I showed here, just so you know, this is Google Drive. We have Google accounts now for, it's not mail, email accounts, I want to make that very clear, it's just Google accounts. But we honestly have the ability now where a teacher can have 5 students in a class all working on the same document at the same time from 5 different locations, all typing, and it's all real time, saving it on Google. And as one person types, as Johnny types, the other 4 people that are in there will see exactly what Johnny's typing and where they're typing. It actually puts their name on there and everything. It makes it available real time all the time. Really easy way to share. We've got documents that are shared district-wide right now. We've got teachers that are getting their kids online and collaborating online. It's really, really fun to watch. I'm amazed at the ideas that some of our teachers can come up with just by making it available to them. So with that, are there any questions?
Is there any problems with the Foothill Schools and the internet service up there?
You know what? We're lucky. There are only 2 schools that I can't get full fiber lines to. Loma Rica, Foothill, Brownside, they're the same as any of the valleys. It's just Yuba Feather and Dobbins. Yuba Feather has, they both have, it's a little bit less. They are smaller schools. I will say this about Dobbins. I've said it since I first got here. Dobbins is a miracle of the telephone world for some reason. They get Verizon coverage there, better coverage than I get in my house. Their internet speeds there are actually faster than what the lines are supposed to be able to happen. So I don't want to mess with Dobbins because I don't understand it, and it's working really well, better than it should. Yuba Feather, on the other hand, is something that we have to keep a really close eye on. Where they're at, getting any kind of fiber up there is going to be difficult. They also, because of where they're at, they cross boundaries in what AT&T calls a LATA, and so they're a long-distance school for us just because they happen to be a few miles over some imaginary line that AT&T put somewhere. So it makes it interesting. But so far, they've been doing okay. They've been able to access and utilize all the same tools that everyone else has. We will see if that continues. We're going to keep a really close eye on it.
Any other questions?
No, I just would like to say that watching this metamorphosis with Brian has been exhilarating for all of us that are around him. It used to be about putting in computers, servicing computers, getting the wiring, for lack of a better term. You can tell he's a techie, I am not, were the primary concerns. But, you know, you send someone to a workshop, to a conference, and they come back re-energized and certainly is having, as you can tell, a great time working with our teachers, but also facilitating some very high-level discussions and bringing what can be to some of us that are a little longer in the tooth, we're reluctant to use, a little afraid of, making it easy, making it quick, painless, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch that technology department as they not just do the hardware kinds of activities, it's now really about educating our kids for the world that they are in, whether we like it or not.
Absolutely.
And I love the shift from always blocking everything. We had a discussion, I think it was last year, with our parent advisory committee out at Johnson Park when we were unveiling the new classroom and the technology that's there, talking about so many of our kids have smartphones. They have access. So it's not about prohibiting, it's about, as Brian said so eloquently earlier, teaching them the right way, teaching them there are things out there that you don't need to delve into, but there's this whole other world of wonderful research and resources that are just at their fingertips or at the tap of a button on their phone. So thank
Absolutely.
You, Brian, for coming back better than before. It was hard to believe, but he really has.
I apologize it took so long.
Okay, thank you, Brian. Okay, comments from board members, Mr. Danival? Mr. Crawford?
No, except thank you. Very well done.
Mr. Harris?
I just would like to thank you. Thank you.
And Mr. Fleury?
By each one of your places, there's a letter from the Lions Club. And for 2 years, we put on the Winter Wonderland out at the mall, in which we have collected toys and or donations from groups throughout the community. And it happens on December 7th, when we're on conference. But they're hoping to, it's for the whole community, they're not going to eliminate anyone, ages 4 to 7. I'm going to ask Gay if we can put a box to collect toys in the district office, then we put all those toys together, and we have a wholesaler that sells us toys. It's very cheap. In participating this past year, just to see the faces of these kids when they get a toy is unbelievable. Sometimes we count our blessings. We realize we have a lot of blessings, and a lot of these people don't have very much at all. So if you could consider donating to that and or give a toy, we would be glad to pick them up to make someone just a better Christmas. And they give chocolate. Santa Claus is there and the whole thing. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Rex?
Well, I want to apologize for trying to move Jim's microphone there. Tomorrow is September 11th, and it's the anniversary, of course, of the tragedy. I remember waking up that morning and then going to school and the events of the day. So if we think about it tomorrow, I think it's at 8:47 when the first plane hit the World Trade Center there. In most places, there will be a moment of silence or a minute of silence. And that's it for me.
Okay, Mr. Miller.
How can I add anything to what the board members have said? Thank you. And I'd like to thank the information the gentleman gave us. And never be sorry when you're given a presentation about something you're really excited about. Thank you.
Okay, opportunity for employee organizations to address the board, Marysville Unified Teachers.
Can you hear me? Okay, awesome. I wanted to say one thing about Brian's presentation. When he came to our school, he showed us a very awesome video of a dancer. And I really think that he should share that with you. That's not my MUTA words, but he has offered to provide a real performance, and I think here would be a good spot. So from MUTA, I just wanted to let the board know that we have been dealing with a grievance that started at the end of the school year, and tonight our executive board voted, and unfortunately we haven't been able to come up with any other resolution, so we'll be going to arbitration. Just want to give an update on that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Inga. Operating Engineers Local Union 3, California School Employees Association 326-648, Association of Management and Confidential Employees, Supervisory Unit, public comments, there are no public comment cards, Superintendent's Report.
I just wanted to add one comment to Mr. Rex's statement about 9/11. Tomorrow you will notice that flags around the district will be at half mast, and that is a recognized observance throughout our nation. And so if you have any questions, that's why those flags are flying at half mast in remembrance of 9/11. And that's all I have this evening.
OK, Okay, thank you, Dr. Todd. We'll move on to approval of minutes. Minutes from the special board meeting of August 26, 2013, and also the minutes from the regular board meeting of August 27, 2013. If there are no additions or deletions, is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion by Mr. Harris. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Fleury. And all those in favor?
Aye.
Seven yes. Consent agenda. Does anybody want anything pulled on the consent? Nobody wants anything pulled on the consent. Is there a motion?
I just have one question on the Ashland, Oregon trip. Is that just always be in June?
I thought it was in June, but maybe it's different.
I didn't know it's one in October.
Can anybody help me with that? Ashland, Oregon trip?
MCAA.
MCAA? For years, Mr. Robinson and Randy remember that, always asked us to chaperone, but it was always in June, I thought.
Well, surprise, they're going in October.
Oh, well, yeah, I know. Which leads me to believe, where are they going?
I know Marysville High School used to do that trip, and we always did it.
Yeah,
within the spring. I don't have that answer for you. I can certainly
but
find
I also
out and
know
put it
that
in the Friday packet.
If you're going to see something specific, you have to follow their schedule because
yes.
They're...
And it is very popular, and so they may have extended that window of when they have schools come up. I don't know, but I can get that for you.
No, it's great, except he'll probably be sitting in the rain in October. I don't know.
The beauty of Oregon.
Okay. That was my only question.
The Shakespeare Theater is the only one that's outside.
Second.
And all those in favor?
Aye.
Seven yes. Okay, move on to new business. This is Educational Services number one, Resolution 2013-1405, availability of textbooks and instructional material. We're here to hold a public hearing. Is there anybody here for the hearing? Dr. Todd, do you have any comments?
This is our annual item that we bring to the board to attest to the fact that we have sufficient materials for all of our students, and that is what you have before you this evening.
Any questions, comments? We need a motion to close the hearing.
Motion to close.
I think Bernie had a question.
I did get a call from a parent about the number of textbooks, and her concern was... not just with the availability of the books, but the fact that to carry all the books around amounted to 25 pounds for her kid. And she thought that there might be some way that the school district could
lighten the load
somewhere along the line on what the kids have to carry around and take home. Okay. That's the only comment I have.
And by the way, that's not a new comment. So it's those textbooks unfortunately continue to get heavier and heavier, and we can only hope that at some point we'll have them on a tablet where students can have them all on one small device and have access to them 24/7.
Even the one book that we approved tonight is $27 each.
Well,
so we're talking some big time bucks, and that's not a big book.
Right. Unfortunately, that's one of the cheaper books.
Well, maybe with the new technology coming up, they won't need to carry the books around with them.
No, but remember, those books still will not be free, so there still is a cost to incur, mm-hmm. But certainly they'll be a lot lighter.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, is there a motion to close the hearing?
Motion to close.
Motion by Mr. Harris. Second by Mr. Danable, and all those in favor?
Aye.
Seven yes. Now we need a motion to approve the resolution. Is there a motion to approve the resolution?
I move to approve the resolution.
Motion by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Fleury. All those in favor?
Aye.
Seven yes. Okay, Technology Department. This is Board Policy 6163.4, Student Technology Acceptable Use Policy. We're going to hold that public hearing also. Is there any comments? Brian, do you have any comments?
Just real quick, with all the changes we're making, I wanted to make sure the parents are very, very aware of the changes we're making, why they're making them. The new acceptable use policy has gone out to all the students, included with a cover letter that if the parents have any questions, they can call me directly to ask me. But that's what this is about, is to make sure that the district is still covered, but at the same time making sure that we are preparing for the future and allowing the things that are now needed.
Brian, before you sit down, as a grandparent, and I think I was listening pretty good, are you going to help the kids open Facebook accounts?
When it comes to Facebook, Facebook is available now on our network. It used to be blocked. You have to be 14 or older to have an account,
okay.
And our teachers have been told, if you teach students that are less than, that are younger than 14, do not help them open Facebook accounts.
Okay.
I don't care if they have them at home. Don't help them do it. It's part of the education process of follow the rules, and the rules are 14 or older, and therefore, if you're not 14, Facebook isn't for you. Edmodo is. Some of the teachers, though, are using Facebook to communicate with parents because it works really well, and there are a lot of parents that are on it. But it's the ability to have it, and that's part of the education piece that we're talking about, is making sure that they follow the rules. They don't get on it until they're supposed to, and then when they do, they know how to responsibly actually use it.
So you address the hacking and the bullying and the things
that's
that could
happen.
That's
part of all of that digital
that
citizenship
concern.
Curriculum that's happening, absolutely, yes.
Thank you very much.
Okay, any other questions or comments? Anybody?
Motion to close.
Motion by Mr. Harris to close the hearing.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Rex. And all those in favor?
Aye.
7 yes. Now we need a motion to approve the revisions. Is there a motion to approve the revisions?
Move to approve.
Motion by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second
by Mr. Danable. And all those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, 7 yes. We're going to move on to a discussion item. This is the man gate on Evelyn Drive. Dr. Todd.
Thank you. I did receive a call from Maxwell Widmer. I don't see him in the office in the audience this evening. He had some concerns about the gate being open on Evelyn Drive, and so that is why it was on the agenda for the board to, in his words, reconsider opening that particular gate. As you will remember, last spring the board was very clear that they would be opening the gate at both Evelyn and potentially Lieber Avenue as avenues for students to be able to enter and exit Lyndhurst High School. And so this was an opportunity for him to come in, I guess, plead his case for the board to lock the gate and not allow that to happen. And he's unfortunately not here this evening. So I do have Bob Eckert in the audience, principal of Lyndhurst High School, and Christy Hayes, who is his assistant principal there as well, if you have questions specific to them. And, of course, our board representative is also very articulate, I'm sure, about the subject of being able to get on and off campus easily.
Well, and additionally, it's a safety issue.
Absolutely. This allows other ways for students who reside in that attendance area.
And those are the community children.
Enter and exit the school.
They live in the neighborhood, and it's their neighborhood. And I go back to when the school opened, and if we locked Lever Gate, they'd just climb over it, huh, Randy? So it had, the gates have always been a question, but it is a big safety concern. And it's their neighborhood as well as the few that decided to complain, so I hope we keep them open.
And Michelle Healy has provided you with some very nice maps of Lyndhurst High School and the exits that we are talking about and entrances, as well as the property on Evelyn Drive that the board approved for an ingress and egress.
Is this a wall or
something? So. I think they don't like the amount of traffic on the road. They don't like the students walking through the neighborhoods. Some of them, according to Mr. Widmer, have used some expletives in his presence, and he finds that to be offensive and certainly not something we would tolerate. But at the same time, they are children who live in the neighborhood and are walking to and from their homes to school.
Well, I live out in Johnson Park myself, and yes, you do hear some words coming out of the students' mouths, but yet there are non-students living out there that you do hear these same things from. I think we should leave it the way it is. Open the gates, let the students be able to enter and depart. It gives them a chance. A number of students ride public transit, and this gives them a better way to get there from public transit. There are two places, two stops. One's down by the park in Johnson Park, and the other's over by Johnson Park School. So it's convenient for them, and it makes it easy. So I think we should leave it open and let them be able to exit and enter from there. And also, I was looking at the what is proposed for there, for that area by the district, a sidewalk that you can enter to and from the high school, with a number of trees in the area. And that will make it look a lot better than it does now. What you have now is an empty lot with nothing. So I think the improvement would be much better than what we have.
Hey, anybody else? Mr. Eckhart, do you want to say anything? Or you don't have to.
I would concur with Mr. Miller, too, that Michelle and the staff did a great job of presenting how it will look when it's completed. I think that's really an asset to the not just the school, but to the community, too. So pretty hard to vote anything but yes.
It would be a great addition.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Okay, we'll move on to business services number one. It's 2012-13 unaudited actual financial report and revised 2013 budget. Mr. Allgaier.
Good evening. As usual, I'd like to take a second to thank, in particular, Penny, also Jennifer and Kim for their hard work in getting all these documents prepared, and the rest of the accounting department who picked up the slack while they were doing this. Penny was here, I'm sure, till 8 o'clock many evenings. So, and I'd also like to thank Angela for her usual good work on the PowerPoint. So with that said, you have your usual set of documents, the official spiral-bound document and a couple of supplemental documents. These will all be turned into the County Office of Education after the conclusion of this evening's meeting in accordance with law. The law states that each year, by September 15th, the district will present to the school board a report of the unaudited actuals for the prior fiscal year, in this case fiscal year 12-13, in which case the board will approve the unaudited actuals, and then, as I stated, all the forms, and it actually happens electronically, is submitted to the County Office of Education for review. So these are the unaudited actuals. And as I put in my cover letter, the auditors, Crow Horwath, are scheduled to come back in October, and their report is due by law no later than December 15th. So you're used to seeing this page. You may not see it very much in the future because it is still based on the revenue limit, which was in effect in 12-13. And as you know from prior presentations, is being replaced by the local control funding formula. The revenue limit has been in existence since 1972. So this is, as I've stated previously, a fundamental change in school finance to move away from revenue limits and into the local control funding formula. Again, of note, I've talked about this many, many times, the revenue limit deficit factor, which, again, the simple analogy is the state owes you a dollar, they give you 78 cents, and call it even. In our case, we lose $13.3 million a year because of that deficit factor. Now, under the local control funding formula, the deficit factor simply disappears. So you won't hear about it anymore because the legislation just simply eliminates it. That's not necessarily a good thing. It's a nice way for the legislature to forget about it. But that's not why we're here. So, again, key facts for 12-13, using the revenue limit. This is what we ended the year with, our fund balance. Remember, this is equivalent of a personal savings account. It's one-time money. It's a little bigger than most people's savings account, but nevertheless, the analogy is true. That's how it breaks down in the main components, and the 3% is there, and then there's about $5.4 million unassigned, unappropriated, out of the total of $11 million. This is how our budget, in summary, progressed during the year. Remember, the adopted budget is always adopted before the state passes their budget. So you'll see, really, the first big change happens at first interim. And in this case, there's a big change to restricted. The second interim, you'll notice, remember, the unrestricted changed. That was due to the salary settlement, primarily. However, we ended the year, as you can see at the bottom, we did get some miscellaneous budget savings, as we always predict we will, and we'll go over that in a little more detail. But you can see from third interim, unrestricted deficit spending a little over $1 million. We actually ended the year deficit spending, but $286,000. This is a breakdown of the fund balance between unrestricted and restricted. This is all in the forms in the spiral-bound binder, if you can pull the information out. So we try and hit the highlights for you. So our unrestricted fund balance, $9 million. Restricted fund balance is about $2 million. Here's what happened between third interim and when we do these slides. We're always comparing to the last time the board approved the budget, in this case, third interim. And you get a spreadsheet that looks like this that has a little more detail. That's a handout. It's not a required spreadsheet, but we do turn it into the county office along with all the other information. So you can see there were quite a few changes. Increased contributions are an expense. Those are all restricted programs that the district uses unrestricted funds to support. And so when you see a negative number there, that means the cost increased. However, we had some significant savings in the expenditure accounts, one of which was significant carryovers at the site level for what monies that were allocated for their substitute costs. And you'll see the, another slide on that in a few minutes. That's the primary savings listed under teachers, including substitutes. Should be plural. Then under the 4,000s, you can see some other items. The print shop came out very well this year, as did custodial services and some other items. This goes on to the rest of the major object codes. Again, quite a bit of savings in the legal. We didn't have huge legal costs in 12-13 as we have had in the past, so there was a savings there. The security camera project, I'll talk more about that in a minute, because that's a carryover to 13-14. And then, so our miscellaneous budget savings added up to $796,000. And remember, we project 500,000 using basically a three-year average. So it did come out a little higher. But again, the primary reason for that were the significant carryovers at the site level, which were abnormal. We do have restricted programs with fund balance, and that's, I mentioned earlier, that's just under $2 million, and this is the breakdown. The primary one continues to be EIA. So in 13-14, those EIA funds are still restricted as EIA funds, but in 13-14, there is no EIA. It's part of the local control funding formula, so you will not see EIA in the future. These were the restricted program contributions, or in other words, these are the totals that are devoted to those specific items listed. The biggest one continues to be special ed. That's not the total expenditures in special ed. That's the total expenditures compared to revenue. In other words, we subsidize special ed by $2.9 million a year and another $1 million for special ed transportation. That simply represents special ed expenditures that are not funded by state or federal revenue. Unrestricted budget savings, this is a historical look. This is what I use to develop what we use in our multi-year projection, the $500,000. Now adding 12-13, our three-year average went up to $560,000, and our six-year average was about $712,000. And you can see it varies greatly from a low of $88,000 one year to $1.9 million one year. That's why we look at averages. So again, the average, or the actual this year, was $796,000. These look at just object codes 4 through 6,000. So those are the non-salary object codes. This is just another way to look at things. You can have these same programs with salary and benefit codes. So this is looking at just a portion of these programs. But this is typically where the unrestricted budget savings come from. So you can see it varies greatly and can vary greatly from year to year. It actually added up to about a little over $1 million. I was asked a question earlier this evening about repairing grounds equipment, and you'll note the grounds budget did exceed about $8,000. A lot of that was due to the my response to that question, which were some fairly significant repair costs last year, and knowing we would have unrestricted budget savings to support that, I didn't see a great concern with the grounds using their funds to repair that equipment. So that's a primary reason why you see a negative there. But as you can see, most everything else is positive. Now, this is a slide from August. When we adopted the budget, our deficit spending was fairly significant, almost $2 million. But based on, and I don't want to repeat the whole August 13th presentation, so the short course is we're estimating the increased revenue from the local control funding formula of what you see there. And then we had a slide that then I showed what the estimated first interim deficit spending would be. Now, this slide came from the August 13th board meeting, but it's been updated because we have site unrestricted carryovers. When you have carryovers, unrestricted carryovers, they reduce the expenditures in the current year and they add to the expenditures in the next year, because you have to now take that carryover and budget that money so that, in this case, the sites have it available to spend. So deficit spending goes up because you're now adding the carryover amount to the budget. So that was $335,000 for the sites and $296,000 for the security camera project. There's a little footnote showing where that number comes from. It's the original amount less what was spent through June 30th. So now that $296,000 also has to be added to the 13-14 budget. And as you can see, that would take us to just about $1.1 million of deficit spending. However, remember, if you subtract unrestricted budget savings from that number. So, any other changes between today and when we have to do first interim? Of course, we'll change that total. These are simply the positive deficit for each of our other funds and the fund balance on June 30th of 2013. And then my usual slide, where do miscellaneous budget savings come from? Well, you can see they come from all over the place. We have thousands and thousands of account lines. And in 12-13, we spent about $76 million. So if you're 99.5% accurate, your variance is still $381,000. You've seen this slide many times. I think it's important to continue to stress this. With a budget this size, little things add up. And as I already said, the next event is first interim, which is due to the board the first meeting in December, because it has to be to the county office by the 15th of December. So with that, questions?
Yeah, Mark, wasn't the deficit factor kind of the legislature's way to control educational spending?
Well, sure. It's an easy way. In simple terms, what the statutory law required there to be a COLA. So in very straightforward terms, the legislature approved the COLA and then increased the deficit factor to offset the COLA so they didn't have to pay it. Then they went above and beyond that and used the deficit factor to actually cut. So that's where a lot of the state budget cuts came from, was the revenue limit deficit factor.
Okay, so what's going to be their control now?
How are they going to control the amount of the local control funding formula target allocations that they actually fund. So, same concept. We owe you $11,000 a kid. We can give you six. You get six. Now, as if you recall, Governor Brown and the legislature approved this phase-in for 7 years where they're supposed to fund a percentage each of those 7 years so that in year eight you're at 100%. Well, there's no guarantee, of course, that the legislature will renege on that and fund something else.
Any other questions?
Just a comment I heard on the news today that Governor Brown is thinking of using some of that those funds we voted for that we thought was going for education to establish a program of rehabilitation for prisoners in overcrowded facilities. So it's just, it's amazing to me how quickly things can change at the state level.
Any other questions, comments? Okay, is there a motion for the 2012-13 unaudited actual financial report and revised 2013-14 budget?
Move to approve.
Motion by Mr. Rex. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Danable. All those in favor?
Aye.
Seven yes. Okay, move. Thank you, Mr. Algar.
Thank you.
We're going to move on to...
I'll just stay here.
Yeah, Business Services number 2, Resolution 2013-14-08, adoption of the 2013-14 GAN limit and 2012-13 recalculations. Mr. Algar.
Thank you, and very quickly, this is all done by state software. It is still required by law. It really is perfunctory. The district doesn't do anything with its GAN limit. We simply use the state software to calculate it. The forms are actually in the spiral bound document, so they can go to the county office, but we did provide you with a separate copy. This is the official calculation, and I would ask the board to approve the board resolution so we're in compliance with the law.
Okay. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion by Mr. Harris. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Crawford. All those in favor?
Aye.
7 yes. Thank you, Mr. Algeier. Mr. Fleur, you have somebody you'd like to close the meeting in honor of? Okay, thank you, Mr. Fleury. Meeting's adjourned.